First of all the Torah tonight, all the Torah tonight should be Lila Nishmas. Moshe Aaron Yeshua Ben Eliezer Zussman, Yudi Gluck's father, his yahrzeit is coming up on Tu B'Av. Bezer Hashem should be Melech Choisha for all of us. It should be Lila Nishmaso. To continue to rise up in Shemayim, help bring us bracha and shefa to the world. It's mamish the most amazing, unbelievable schus in the world to be here. And I don't say those words lightly. And we all know we're in a difficult tkufa, we're in a difficult time period. The days of the 3 weeks, Bein HaMetzarim, it's a difficult time for all of Klal Yisrael. And everybody in this room knows the Gemara in Yuma. Everybody knows that primarily the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. And if that's true, then seemingly, and all the Sfarim talk about it, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, the third Beis HaMikdash, through Avos Chinam. Through one Jew reaching out to another Jew, caring about another Jew. Another Jew that we might not even know prior to that meeting. Another Jew that might be sometimes hard to connect to. Seemingly that's what's going to bring Geula. And I have no doubt then, I have no doubt, and I don't say these words lightly, that what you're doing here this summer, I believe is bringing Mashiach. So there's nowhere else I'd like to find myself right now. On Matzei Shabbos Kodesh, the first Shabbos of the 3 weeks, a very special holy time. And then the Makom that's bringing Mashiach. And all of you in this room should understand that. I want to tell you something that came to me earlier today, before we even begin. There's a Torah from the Belzer Rebbe Zatzal that talks about the tzaddikim that are bringing the Beis HaMikdash. And it starts off that we have four walls of the Beis HaMikdash that have to be built. And the first wall was built by Malachim. Not for now to explain that. And each wall, speak a little deeply now, just as means of introduction. But each wall somehow is built through something to do with the Gematria 103. We'll come back to that, but you'll understand in a moment. So the first wall was built already by the Rabban Shalom, by the Malachim. Comes along Avram Avinu, and Avram Avinu calls the Makom of the Migdash, the Makom of the Beis Migdash, a har, a mountain. A mountain har is Gematria 205, but in Gematria is something called Kailal. You could always add one, it's a deep idea, which is 206. So that's another wall, that's 103, right? That's the second wall. Comes along Yitzchak, and Yitzchak calls the Makom of the Beis HaMikdash a Sadeh, a field. That's what he calls that Makom. Sadeh's Gematria 309. That's 206 plus 103. So that's another wall. Comes on Yaakov, and Yaakov calls the Makom of the Migdash Bayis, Beis Elokim, Bayis. Bayis is Gematria 412. That's another 103. That's another 103. Right? 309 plus 103 is 412. But you need a floor and you need a ceiling. So comes along Moshe Rabbeinu. And we know Veschanan El Hashem. He David. Veschanan is 515. It's another Makom of Beis HaMikdash. 515 is 412 plus 103. But we need one last. We're waiting for the final, the ceiling to be built. We need one more 103. Machaneh, camp. is exactly Gematria 103. You here in this machina, you here in Camp Hask, are building that final ceiling of Beis HaMikdash. I mean that deeply. Because this Ava that you have, what you're giving of yourself, what you're doing, and it's not easy, with Mesiras Nefesh, with self-sacrifice, sometimes giving up your Gashmias, and more than that, giving up your Ruchnias. And when I say that when it comes to giving up Tefillos and giving up learning, obviously everything you're doing is Ruchnias. But it's Mesiras Nefesh. That Mesiras Nefesh of Bein HaMechmeru is rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. I'm in awe. And if I came just to tell you that, it would be enough. I could leave. But at the same time, I didn't have to come here to tell you that. I know that each and every one of you know that already. You wouldn't be here if you didn't. You don't need a rabbi. You don't need Aryeh Cohen to come up here and come on a Matzei Shabbos to tell you that. You all understand it already. And that's why you're here. That's what you're doing here. Rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. Caring about other Yidden. Olam Chesed Yibon. So that's what my heart had to tell you. Because that's how I'm going to walk out of here inspired by you. But the MS is, I came to tell you something else. Because that's what you all came here for, and that's what you all knew, and that's what you all know, and you don't need me that for that. But the Tana Dvelio teaches us that all tzaras that happened to Klal Yisrael, and that includes Churban Beis HaMikdash, Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, that includes a year ago during this time when over 70 Yidden were murdered in Eretz Yisrael, during the war a year ago, Gilad, Ayal, Naftali, it includes every tragedy of all of history. It includes the difficulties that we go through daily in our lives and the people we come in contact with. Every tzara comes from some chisara, some lacking in our connection to Torah. Whether it be Talmud Torah, the learning of Torah, the following of Torah in a proper way. Many bring down the Rechaim HaKadosh, and we'll get back to it. Parshat Tetzaveh tells us that Geula will come through Torah. Everyone in this room, you all know the second Mishnah in Perkei Avos. The second Mishnah of Perkei Avos tells us al shlosha dvarim olam omed, al Torah, al avoda, ve'al gamias chasadim. There are three pillars that the world is standing on. And for the world to exist, and for our individual worlds to exist, we need all three pillars. If we remove one pillar, the whole world would be destroyed. Nefesh HaChayim, Chaim V'Lajin, in Nefesh HaChayim, Ruach HaChayim, he teaches that if for one moment there was no Torah, if for one moment there was no Tefillah, if for one moment there was no Chesed, the world would cease to exist. So yes, Chesed is one of the pillars. Crucial, important. But what I came to share with you, that we can't forget Torah v'Avoda. There's a famous story of the Baal HaTanya and the Middle Rebbe. The Middle Rebbe was the Baal HaTanya's son. The second Chabad Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya was the first Chabad Rebbe, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi. The Baal HaTanya, Talmud of the Maggid of Mezrich, Baal Shem. A few years ago, I had the schus to be by his kever. So one day, it's a famous story. At one point, when the Baltani was living in Liadi, he had a two-floor house, and he lived on the bottom floor, and his son, the Middler Rebbe, lived on the second floor. The Baltani was learning, and he heard his grandson, who was a baby at the time, crying. Mamish tears. I mean, he heard him very loud, crying. And it continued. And he finally goes upstairs, and he goes into the apartment, and he finds his son sitting and learning by his table, as his baby, as his grandson, continues to cry. The Baal Tanya says to his son, "What are you doing? What's going on? Don't you hear the baby crying? Don't you hear your son crying?" And his son said, "I'm sitting and learning. I'm mamash so engrossed in his Torah, he didn't hear his son crying. Sorry, I didn't hear him crying." This was after the Baal Tanya already went to the grandson and picked him up and was soothing him and was holding him. And he says to his son, the Middle Rebbe, "No Yid should ever be learning in such a way that he doesn't hear another Jew crying." In other words, there are times when we have to understand that we put our learning to the side to be there for another Jew. And yes, Olam Chesed Yibana, and that's what we're doing, those of you in this room, the Malachim that you are, understand that. But I want you to understand something else. The Baal Tanya, before he heard the cries, and after he finished soothing the baby and put the baby down, prior to that he was learning, and after that he was learning. Meaning, yes, we understand Mesiras Nefesh v'Chesed, but that doesn't mean we forget the Torah and Avodah. And we have to have Mesiras Nefesh for that as well. Let's understand this through the days we're in. We're in the middle of Bein HaMetzarim. We're in the middle of the 3 weeks. A very difficult time. But it's very interesting. This morning we benched Rosh Chodesh benching. Right? Most of you were here. I don't know. Here, you never know if you're Minyan. You don't make it to Minyan. You can't be here. You could be here. For those of you who don't know, we benched Rosh Chodesh this morning. If we don't know, it's because you were taking care of the crying baby. That's where you should have been, Baruch Hashem. But we benched Rosh Chodesh this morning. Menachem, we said we benched Rosh Chodesh Menachem Av. The month of Av should be a month of comfort. What I know of, there's one other month that has a title to it. We don't just bench Rosh Chodesh, but we give it a title. We don't just say Rosh Chodesh Adar. There's one other month where we give a title. What's the month? You all know it. Cheshvan, right? And we call Cheshvan Mar Cheshvan. Mar means it's bitter. It's a bitter month. You ever think about it? What makes Cheshvan bitter? So I know you all know the answer already, right? You're thinking, what kind of question is that? Cheshvan's bitter because there are no Yom Tovim in Cheshvan. That's why it's Mar Cheshvan. There are no Yom Tovim. It's a bitter month. Happens to me, my birthday's in Cheshvan. Yitzayin Cheshvan. But you look in the Torah, you don't find any source for a birthday. The only birthday we have in the Torah is Parah. That's not the time to get into that parasha, but whether we should celebrate birthdays, not celebrate birthdays. Yitzayin Cheshvan was also the day the Mabul began. I don't know what that means, but that was the day I was born. As far as bring down, that there was supposed to be Kabbalah Satorah then. The 40 days, Mayim El Torah. 40 days it rained, the 40 days Moshe was up in Shemayim getting the Torah up, so maybe it's a big day of Kedusha. I hope. I'm davening. Some of my parents probably thought they understood it was a day of Mabul. Trying to do tshuva for all that. Still till today. So why is it Mar Cheshvan? Because there are no Yom Tovim. Okay, Shkoyach, there are no Yom Tovim. But last time I checked, in Cheshvan, There are also no difficult days. There are no days of Sardis. Tammuz, the month we're in right now, there are no Yom Tovim. Right? Anyone know any? Tell me, please. Is there a Yantiv that I missed? Tammuz. So I know some of the Chabad is thinking Gimel Tammuz. The Rebbe that tells your tzait. Tammuz is no Yom Tovim. But it's not just no Yom Tovim. There's a Shiva Zerba Tammuz, the beginning of the 3 weeks, Bein HaMetzarim. Wouldn't that be a more appropriate month to say Mar Tammuz? Of has a Tisha B'Av in it. Elul, by the way, also. Elul, any Yom Tovim in Elul? Yes, it's Hachana, we're getting ready for Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Elul itself, any Yom Tovim in Elul? But we don't say Mar Elul. Why do we say Mar Cheshvan? Why do we say Cheshvan's bitter? So I thought we could explain as follows. Every other month, besides Cheshvan, every single one has special days. Maybe not inherently simchadik days, but special days. A special day is a day that I, as a Jew, can use the kochos of the day, the inspiration of the day, to build a closer relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To inspire me to get closer to God in whatever way possible. So sometimes we get closer to God in joyous, wonderful times, in simchadik times, and sometimes we get closer to God in the most difficult of times. When there's no one else left I can reach out to but the Ribbono Shel Olam. So yes, on a Sukkis, on a Simchas Torah, on a Purim, I'm close to God. I'm feeling that relationship. It's beautiful, it's wonderful. But on a Tzum Gedayah, on a Shabbat Batamas, on an Asar Bateves, and yes, even on a Tisha B'Av, I'm using those days as inspiration to build a deeper, closer relationship with Hashem. That's what they're there for. Sometimes distance creates a closeness. Sometimes you don't know what you're missing, what you have, until you're without it. Trust me, and some of you that were here last year, trust me when I tell you, the night you leave this makom, each and every one of you is going to be crying like a baby. Each and every one of you is going to be crying like a baby. Then that first night you're at home in bed, and now it might be the hardest avodah you've done in your life. It might be so difficult waking up early in the morning, taking care of someone 24/7. But the moment you leave here, and probably way before that, you're going to feel so deeply in love. And the distance is going to build such a closeness when you leave. You're going to want to be back together in the deepest of ways. And those of you that were here last year know exactly what I'm talking about. So when we know the Ribbono Shel Olam is far from us, and we've done something to destroy that relationship, we want to rebuild that relationship, and it's chizik, it's inspiration. So the only month of the year that's mar, that's bitter, the only one is Cheshvan. Because Tammuz might be hard, but there are days to help me get closer to God. And Av has days that help me get closer to God. Only Cheshvan has none. That's, as a Jew, what's bitter in life. Not having days to help me get close to Hashem. But I want to take you one step further. And listen closely. We know that this period of time, these 3 weeks, have bookends that surround the days Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. The Gemara tells us there were 5 occurrences and tragedies on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, and 5 tragedies, 5 occurrences on Tisha B'Av. On Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, the Gemara in Tainus Daf Chavav, the Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, Nishtabru Aluchos, the Luchos were broken after the Chet Egel. Batla Tamid. There's a carbon Tamid brought every day. The first in the morning, the last in the afternoon. It was the first time we didn't bring the carbon. Hufka here. The walls of Yerushalayim were broken through. Visaraf Apistimus. Es HaToira. Apistimus, a Greek Rasha, burnt to Sefer Torah. Vehemet Selim Behechel. And he placed a statue. He placed an Avodah Zarah in the Beit HaMikdash. Those are the five occurrences of Shiva of Thomas. And there were five that occurred on Tisha B'Av. And the Gemara goes through, we all know them. Nigzar al-Vasein Shul Yekansul Aretz. There was a decree that we wouldn't enter into Eretz Yisrael. This was after Chet Meraglim, after the sin of the spies. Long Shabbos is speaking. After we sinned by the spies, by the Meraglim, there's a Gzeirah al Vaseinu Shel Yikansul Aretz. There's a Gzeirah who wouldn't enter into Eretz Yisrael. Charav Bayis Berishono Bishnia. The first and the second Beit HaMikdash were destroyed. Vinilkud Beitar. Beitar, a very special city, thousands of Talmidei Chachamim, was destroyed. V'nechrash Ha'ir. And the whole city, Yerushalayim, was plowed over. The Maharal explains and understands that there's a qualitative difference between the five occurrences of Shivas B'Tamiz and the five occurrences of Tisha B'Av. You see, everything that happened on Shivas B'Tamiz, was a haskol, was a beginning. Nishtabru aluchos, the luchos are broken. But we had this chos of a second luchos. Batla tamid, we didn't bring a carbon tamid. The next day we could still bring karbanos. We could be metake, we could fix. Hufkoir, the walls were broken through. We still had Beit HaMikdash. We could rebuild those walls. Epistemus burned to Sefer Torah. There are other Sefer Torah. He put a statue in the Heichel. I could remove it. It was a beginning, but not an end. Tisha B'Av is an end, the Maharal says. Tisha B'Av is destruction. The Bayis Rishon will never be again. The Bayis Sheni will never be again. Beitar destroyed thousands of Talmidei Chachamim. That door would not enter Eretz Yisrael. Nigzar, Gzeira. And Yerushalayim was plowed over as if to say it no longer exists. So you think that's the hardest thing in the world. The hardest thing in the world is a Tisha B'Av, right? Because the Shivas or Batamas, there's still hope. A Shivas or Batamas, I could still have a tikkun. I could still fix it. Tisha B'Av is the hardest thing in the world. Lo aleinu, those of us who had to have dealt with death in our life, there's nothing more difficult. Yes, we have emunah, we have betachon, baruch da in emes. But be'emes in our world, baser v'dam, that person we can never spend time with again. And I'd like to. And I want to. There's nothing wrong with feeling sad about that. So you say that's the hardest thing in the world, right? You know, as Chataya Nimazker Yom, personally, I'm a very big fan of music. I love music. And yeah, I love Jewish music. Many different beautiful singers and beautiful Jewish songs. But as Chataim and Yamas Karyom, I happen to love some non-Jewish music as well. The MS is, these days I have just very little time to listen to music, Jewish or non-Jewish, so I'm really just not listening because I just don't have the time. But Lameisa, music, as the Gra says, is the language of the soul. Like some of us in this room understand, there's some great musicians out there. There's a band that I happen to take to, speaks to my heart a little bit. I'm a big fan of a lot of different forms of music. Some of you might not connect to this form, but it's a band Coldplay. And they have a song. Chris Martin, he sings a song. I don't know, his children are Yidden, so there must be something Kaddish about it, but that's for another time to go into. He was married to a Yid. His children are Yidden. Not that we're happy about that marriage. So he has a song, The Hardest Part. There are two versions of the song. There's a fast version and a slow version. There's a live slow version. It's one of the easiest, beautiful things you've ever heard in your life. Gives me a lot of chizik. I haven't heard it in a very long time. At a Talmud years ago, we were on a senior trip, and we were sitting together. And he got me into this. I never heard of Coldplay before that year, and he played that for me. It took me away. The lyrics of the song, the hardest part is letting go, not taking part. The hardest part is letting go, not taking part. The hardest thing in life is letting go. It's over, it's Tisha B'Av, it's destruction. B'chvoid Chris Martin, I'd like to argue a little bit that that's not the hardest part. You see, he sings another song. It's called Warning Signs. I believe the hardest part is when you have an end, you have a destruction, but there were warning signs and I didn't pay heed. I didn't do anything about it. You see, when Chas V'Shalom L'Aleinu, there's a tragedy. It's difficult, but it's a tragedy that I recognize and realize in retrospect, I could have done something about it. I could have done more. There's nothing more difficult in life. As the Maral says, it's Tisha B'Av, which is the end, which is destruction. But the Rebbeinu Shalom first gave us the Shivas B'Tamas. The Shivas B'Tamas is the Ascholo. Those are the warning signs. To wake us up. To say this is a time, I want you to do more. I want you to prevent Tisha B'Av from occurring again. In two more weeks, if we're not zoich, we'll be a Tisha B'Av. We'll be sitting on the floor and we'll be crying. But if I look back on the 3 weeks, and there were 3 weeks that I did nothing different in my life, and I had no chizik from a Shivas B'Tamas, then that will be the hardest part. To say there's a Tisha B'Av, but I did nothing to turn it into a Mayid. Tzvas Emes, the Ger Rebbe, the Eilige Tzadik, a Talmid Chacham. Towards the end of his life, he went deaf. Couldn't hear anything. But he would continue to give shiurim. He could talk, he gave Torah, he could learn. One day he's giving shiur, and he sees all of Talmidim, the Hasidim, they start murmuring something. They didn't know what they're doing. They're talking. They weren't like us. They didn't speak in shir. So he says, "What's going on? What are you doing?" So one of the Talmidim came over and wrote down for him. So Rabbi, there was just thunder. And we heard the thunder. We were making a bracha. Shekaycha gras mali olam. Sazema starts bawling. Sazema starts crying. Sazema wasn't crying because he couldn't make the bracha. He says to his Talmidim, I no longer have that wake-up call of thunder. I no longer could hear the roar of the Rabbanu Shalom. I no longer can wake up from my spiritual slumber. He was crying because he couldn't hear the thunder. Shekocho Gvurasa Malei Olam. Couldn't hear the call of the Rabbanu Shalom. We've already had a week go by of the 3 weeks. Have we taken that as chizuk? Have we woken up? Have we been doing differently this week? And I know you're giving of yourself 24/7. But have I also been ma'aser nefesh for Torah? For my mitzvos, for my davening? So I wasn't able to daven well all day because I was busy 24/7, and that's what you should be doing. Holding the baby that's crying. And it's late at night and I worked all day and it's 10 o'clock at night. But I finally have my first free minute of the day. My first free minute of the day. What am I doing with my time now? Am I going to be involved in ruchnias now when I finally have a few moments for the other two pillars, for Torah and Avodah? Ask ourselves, how's it been? First day, second day, I was strong in my davening, strong in my learning. It's hard, it really is hard. I'm not tithing on anybody. But what's going on with the pillars of Torah and Avodah? Am I waking up during these days to prevent a Tisha B'Av? The warning signs taking them. I want to share an understanding of what our Avodah should be these days. It's a Torah, but it's a story. Because it occurred this week how this happened. And our mom is still in Shemayim from what happened. And the first time I'm sharing this publicly. It's a story about Torah. Siyata d'Shemayim of the Eibishter. I look at it like a story. Some of you might look at it like Torah. It's one and the same, really. You understand? The whole Torah is one long story. God was the greatest storyteller of all time. Open up Sefer Bereishis. Open up Sefer Bereishis. How many mitzvahs? How many mitzvahs in Sefer Bereishis? Who knows? Almost. Three. There's 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. $5, right? Proportionally, how many should be in each sefer? About 122, 123, right? Okay, so it's going to be off a little bit. Three in all of Sefer Bereishis. It's one long story. God was the greatest storyteller of all time. So earlier this week, I was on the phone with the Chash of a Talmud. Talmud has spent a lot of time here. Yosef Yitzchak Schwartz, otherwise some of the Chevra knows him as Aaron Schwartz. And we were talking about an Indian. And then he asked me a question. He says, Rebbe, my grandfather wanted me to ask someone. What's going on with the number 176? 176. Parshas Naso, the biggest parsha in the Torah, 176 psukim. You open up Tehillim, Kuf Yud Tes, longest of Tehillim, right, with all the Aleph Beis, 176 psukim. Baba Basra, biggest Masechet in Shas, 176 daf. What's going on with 176? I remember once looking into this, but I had zero recall. I said, tzaddik, it's a beautiful question. I have to look into it. I have to look at my notes. I don't know. But I'll tell you a different Torah. Tell you a different Torah. And the Rebbeinu Shalom gave me over to tell him this Torah. To all Siyata Deshmai. From B'nai Yisrael. B'nai Yisrael says that there are 528 hours during these 3 weeks. Bein HaMetzar. Because by the way, there aren't 21 days in the 3 weeks. There are actually 22. The 3 weeks are 3 weeks leading up to Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av itself is obviously part of them. So 22 times 24 hours a day is 528 hours in these 3 weeks. Very nice. Vinay Sasko continues. And he says that there are 528 parakim in Mishnah. Then he asks on that, he questions it, and he explains, because really 523, but he explains there are 528. He says our avodah is to sit and learn and connect the Torah. 528 parakim in Mishnah, 528 hours during these days. And then he says that 528 is exactly gematria mafteach hagula, the key to gula. Mafteach hagula. 528 hours. Mafteach hagula. It's time to connect the Torah. I saw this Torah. My mamish thought about the Arachayim HaKadosh, beginning of Tetzaveh. The Arachayim HaKadosh says that there are Dalet Galios. There are four Galios. Each of the four Galios will have a Gula from different Tzaddikim. Avraham Avinu was the schus of the first gula, Yitzchak the second gula, Yaakov the third gula. This is all from the Zohar. The fourth gula was the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Emes, B'Torah of Emes. And therefore, Moshe and the Rebbeinu Shlomo are waiting till we connect the Torah in the proper way to bring gula. So through learning 528 Parakei Mishnayos, we're zoiche to mafteach hagula, gematria 528, during these 528 hours. So told over Aaron Schwartz, told over this Torah. I sat down a few minutes later, and I started thinking about his question. What's with 176? 176 psukim in Nasa. 176 psukim in Tilo. 176 Dafi Gemara in Shas. Which shows all of Torah, the chashivas in all of Torah, Nach, and Torah Shebaal Peh. If you add up, and the Rebbeinu Shlomo gave me this matana, 176 plus 176 plus 176 in three places, exactly 528. Meaning the Rebbeinu Shlomo is telling us, when you have a chashivas, which is the biggest, it's chashiv, you connect to Torah during these 528 hours, will be zayich to gula. Vada sinaschinim destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, and for sure, as I said and I started, what you're doing here is rebuilding Beis Hamikdash. But if the Aruch Chaim and the Zohar tells us that Torah rebuilt it, how much more so if I'm involved in Chesed all day, but any free moment I'm involved in Torah? You know what that could do for the world? You know what, Mesiras Nefesh? The Ribbono Shel Olam sees a yid of Bas Torah, Ben Torah, giving of themselves 24/7, and then every free moment is davening, is saying Kibbutz Adullam, is learning. You know what it would be if this summer, besides for all the chesed that goes on here, every night this place was packed, and not the street outside. You know what it would be? Gula, Beis Hamikdash. I've no doubt. Cannot be. It cannot be. There was a couple many years ago. They were married for many years, not zoichet have children. They davened and davened and went to tzaddikim. Many years. And finally, after many, many years of davening, going through tzaras, they're blessed, Baruch Hashem, with a baby boy. And they decided to name the baby Yitzchok Al-Khanan. And they had a bris like you could never believe. A simcha she'en kamo. Tzaras, going through those tzaras, those years of tzaras, of not having a child, helped them appreciate in the deepest of way that simcha. And they wanted so deeply Yitzchok Al-Khanan to be a Ben Torah. And they sent him to yeshiva. And he was a beautiful Ben Torah, Baal Midos, a little bit weak in his learning. And he went through the yeshiva system. And he went on to Beis Medrash. And after a few years, the Rebbeim told his parents, you know, he's a wonderful Baal Midos, a beautiful boy. He's not really cut out for yeshiva anymore. Maybe he should get a job, go on to college. Whatever it might be. And they pushed an extra year, they got him special people to learn with. Eventually, the Rebbeim kept telling the parents, and he left yeshiva. And he grew up, and he was a Ben Torah, love of Torah, a Baal Midos. And he grew up, and he was the head of every chesed organization you could think of. Everyone, Taim Chay Shabbos, and Hatzalah, beautiful, 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 beautiful yid. And he had children and grandchildren eventually. Everybody loved him, he was the sweetest of people. And he lived a full life, and he got sick at the end of his life. And he's surrounded by his children and his grandchildren. And he says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. He leaves the world, B'shalom. And he gets up to Shemayim. And he thinks he's going with Mamish. He has no questions. He lived a beautiful life. He's going straight to Gan Eden, right? And he comes to the court case in heaven, comes to that din.
And there's a door to the right. And the door to the right, that door is to Gan Eden. And the door to the left is to Gehenim. And he's waiting. And the Dayan comes, the judge comes. He says, Yitzhu L'chanan, to the left. Can't believe what he hears. To the left, it's me, Yitzhu L'chanan. I was a Ben Torah, Balmidos, a Davint. This is what I do wrong. Dayan says, you're a murderer. Murderer. I'm a murderer? Chas v'shalom, I never heard a fly. You have the wrong guy. I'm not a murderer. And the Dayan says, you killed Hagoyin Hatzadik Rav Yitzchok Elchanan Specter. The story never happened. The story is only a mashal. But Yitzchok Elchanan Specter, Hagoyin Hatzadik Rav Yitzchok Elchanan Specter, when he grew up, he wasn't the top of his shir. He was a big Balmidos, and he was constantly told, you're nice, you're Pasha. Wasn't an Eloi, wasn't a genius, he pushed himself. And he did become a Goyin Atzadik or Yitzchok Elchanan Specter. But what could have been if he listened? What could have been if he was only a beautiful Balmidos and David and learned a little? Every single one in this room, every single one of you can be so much. You have godless. And the raya is that you're here. The proof is that you're sitting here. Not just you're sitting here, that says a lot also. Late at night on a Matzah Shabbos, B'Maaser Nefesh B'Torah. But you're sitting in this camp, in this machne. B'Maaser Nefesh, sacrificing every second of yourself in every way. But if you could sacrifice in such a way for your beautiful campers, for the malachim that you have the schuz to spend time with, Kavachaymer, we could sacrifice for the Rabbeinu Shalom and be a gadol, be great in every area of our life. Al shloisha devarim olam omeid, al Torah avod libin chasadim. Who's to say we're only supposed to be a gadol in chesed? I can't also be a gadol in Torah. I can't also be a gadol in avodah. I have to be a gadol in every area. I have to be a meister nefesh. I have to sacrifice. It's hard. At 10 o'clock at night, at 11 o'clock at night, if you stop and you dive in 15 minutes with true kavana, because it's the first time you could do that all day, those 15 minutes of Mesiras Nefesh is greater than all the tefillos I probably davened all week. And that's godless in avodah. Godless in avodah. And if at 9:30 at night, 10 o'clock at night, and you're tired physically, emotionally, you come to the Beis Medrash and you sit and learn, it's godless in Torah. And it's probably worth more than a Rabbeinu Shalom than a 10-hour day in Yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael, where it's so conducive and so simple. But you have to choose this building and not that road. And sometimes that's hard. Al Torah avodah b'nes chasadim. We're in the middle of a difficult time period, but it's a time period that we could uplift. We can't let it get us down. We have to bring ourselves up. You know, I have a Talmud. It's difficult to say what I'm about to say over, but I have to with you. I've said this before to some of the chevra in the room. I've a chash of a Talmud. Very special Talmud. Mamish like a son. 5 years ago, was diagnosed with a terrible cancer, epithelial sarcoma. And this was after going through many difficulties in life. He lost his father at a very young age. He had other nisyonos that I can't talk about. Very difficult life. And he was finally getting his life together, senior year. In my shir, towards the end of senior year after Pesach, he was diagnosed with cancer. And he was so excited to go to start a new life and go on to Eretz Yisrael and learn, and he couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael anymore because he had to lay in Sloan Kettering and go through chemotherapy and radiation. Baruch Hashem, he had a refuah, and he was in remission. He went to yeshiva February of that year, I believe. And he continued on and he grew in every area of life. I believe it was about a year ago, he got married, Baruch Hashem, to a wonderful young woman. A few weeks ago, he went in for a scan. They saw something in his neck, on his chest. We were davening at first. That Friday, a few weeks ago, he got the terrible news. A terrible prognosis. At the time, a very, very big doctor, he told him he wasn't going to have too much more time in this world. By the way, Baruch Hashem, ever since then, he went to other doctors, top doctors that are in sarcoma itself. Prognosis is a little bit better. There's some experimental treatments they've had success with. We're hoping, we're davening. And what should happen in your tefillah ben Yom Pinchas ben Dafna. But that Friday, when he told me this, when he found out we were together, and he tried to stay strong for him, and he looks at me, he says, Rebbe, because let me ask you in this room, you know, how would we react? How would we deal? What would we do with our life? At that time, he said, Rebbe, if I only have a little bit of time in my life to live, I probably should drop out of school and go back to yeshiva and learn all day. That was his reaction. I should probably drop out of school and go sit and learn in yeshiva. How would we have reacted? Bez Hashem, we should never know. But we just went through a Shiva Zub Thomas. We had our wake-up call. We're going through difficulties in life. How do we react? Do we rebuild our relationship with Hashem? Do we take the warning signs to ensure that there won't be a Tisha B'Av? We've also had a diagnosis of, we've had a Shiva Zabatamas. The walls have come crumbling down. But it's not an ends yet. How are we preventing the ends? Because Chas V'Shalom, we should sit on the floor and look back and say, I did nothing to prevent an ends. In Chesed, of course, but in Torah and Avodah as well. At the time that our Oyvim, our enemies, went into Kodesh Kedoshim, to the Holy of Holies, they found the Kruvim embracing. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Nandal, tells us the Kruvim represent our relationship with Hashem. They were embracing. The Gemara in Baba Basra tells us the Kruvim represented our relationship with Hashem. So how could it be they were embracing? The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. They should have been farthest away from each other. Because at that moment of distance, all we wanted to do was hug Hashem and get closer to Hashem. At this moment of Bein HaMitzarim, is that what we want to do? Is that what we're doing with our time? The Arizal says that if you take the name of Hashem that we call Hashem, we don't call Hashem by His name Havaya Yud Kei Vav Kei, we say Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. And if you take those letters Aleph Dalet Nun Yud and you spell them out how they sound, what's called the miloy. So Aleph is Aleph Lama Pei. Dal is Dal Lama Tov. Nun is Nun Vav Nun. Yud is Yud Vav Dalet. They're 12 letters. Those 12 letters correspond to the months of the year. Okay, that's very Kabbalistic, it's deep. We're not going to explain that in depth right now. But let's just go through very quickly. Nisan would be Aleph of Aleph. Iyar is the Lamed of Aleph. Sivan is the Pei. Tammuz is the Dalet of the Dalet. Av is Lamed of Dalet. So Tammuz and Av, these months are dull. Dal Lamed. Dull means to be lowly, to be low. But dull also means something else. Aramimcha Hashem ki delisani. We say till in the Kibbutz Lamed. Aramimcha Hashem ki delisani. I call out to you, Hashem. I sing, I love you. Ki delisani. Because you lift me up. Delisani, dal could also mean to lift up. Aravoida during these days is to take these 21 days. These days of Bein HaMitzarim that are inherently dal and lift them up. Use them as chizuk. They're not mar, because we can use them as chizuk to reestablish our relationship with Hashem in the most beautiful ways. These 21 days are also connected. The 21 days from Rosh Hashanah until Shemini Atzeres, which means the most intense, the days of the 9 days that we're entering into soon, are Keneged Sukkos, Zman Simcha Seinu. That's what we have the ability to do. We have the ability to flip them around and turn them into days of Simcha, Zman Simcha Seinu. You have the ability every day to take Yidden who have difficulties in Tzaras and flip around their worlds into a world of Simcha. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. It's the most beautiful Zchus. You should understand, you have the biggest Zchus in the world. You know, I have grandparents. Grandmother, my grandfather passed away about a year ago, who in my life are the most beautiful, amazing people I've ever met when it comes to chesed and giving. My grandfather wasn't able to tell him I liked something that he had, because he'd just take it off and give it to me. Remember one day, I said I liked his hat. He had a Yankee hat, I liked his hat. The next day he had it for me. He said, I want to just wash it before I gave it to you. My grandmother, I remember one time when I was a little kid, she was wearing a watch. She was a coach in the Special Olympics in Atlanta, 1996. For young adults similar to who you are with every day. And she had a special watch that they gave her. I told her I liked it. She took it off her arm and gave it to me. I know that they are like that because I had an aunt who was disabled, who was mentally retarded, who had a very difficult life. But they looked at her as the purest person in the world. And every moment of her life they gave over to her. And they became the biggest tzaddikim I know in this world. You have that ability every single day to flip around meyagam l'simcha. It's the biggest chus in the world. But let's not forget, we could be more. In Torah and Avodah as well. The name of Hashem for tshuva, for working on ourselves, for growing, is Eya, I will be. Eya is Gematria 21. These days of the 3 weeks are days of Eya, I want to be more. Bez Hashem is Baruch, every single one of us. We should zaycha, and I know it will be my schus, and your schus, because of what you're doing. And in a very short time, we'll be zoicha to be together, dancing together the way you do here every single night. We'll be dancing together on the Yantuv of Tisha B'Av, Karli Moed, which Mashiach Sakeinu, Bimhira B'Yameinu. Have a beautiful summer, everyone.